This audio production is brought to you by the Islamic Institute of Toronto.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا يوافي نعمه ويكافي مزيده والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Brothers and sisters, it's an honor and a pleasure for me once again to share with you another episode in our series, Illuminate Your Life. And today I have this beautiful hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The topic is, we must continue to work even if the hour is coming. So let me read the hadith in Arabic and translate it and explain it. إن قامت الساعة وفي أحدكم فصيلة فإن استطاع أن لا تقوم حتى يغرسها فليغرسها. If the hour is approaching while one of you is holding a palm seedling to plant and he can wait to plant it before the hour happens, he should finish planting it if he can. Beautiful hadith narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. And this is in Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad. It's also reported by Imam Ahmad and others. Anas ibn Malik was Khadim Rasulullah, the personal assistant who used to help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his chores and errands. When the Prophet arrived in Medina, first time after when he made the hijrah, when he arrived in Medina, the mother of Anas came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with her son Anas, who was a boy of 10 years actually. And she said to Rasulullah, "Here is my son Anas. Let him stay with you to help you out with your errands, your chores." Anas was 10 at the time, and he stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the Prophet of Mercy passed away. Anas radiallahu anhu says, look at the impression of this young boy. From the age 10 until 20, he was with the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he gives us detailed profile portrait of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Beautiful. Look at what the impression of Anas. I served khadimtu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ashra sanin. I served the Messenger of Allah 10 years. And during the course of these 10 years, not even once he said uffin to me. He never condemned me for anything of any of my mistakes. Why did he? You do this, why you didn't do this in our? So you may ask how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentoring this boy, actually through practical examples, not through criticism, condemnation, preaching, but through practical examples. Mother of Anas ibn Malik requested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray for her son. Accordingly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed, Allahumma barik lahu fi umrihi wa akthir malahu wa waladahu wa aghfir lahu dhanbahu. Ya Allah, bless him with long life. And actually, he lived almost 100 years. Plenty of wealth and children. And it is said he had more than 100 children. And forgive his sins. Anas radiallahu anhu saw all of everything that the Prophet prayed for him that day. It was materialized for him. He lived a long life, and he used to say at the advanced age, all of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed have materialized for me, except the last one. I hope to see it in the hereafter, because the last one is, and forgive his sins. And he said, I hope to see Allah forgiving my sins in the hereafter. Anas radiallahu anhu was one of the most prolific transmitters of hadith, like Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and Aisha radiallahu anha and others. He transmitted 2,286 traditions from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As he was accompanying him, he was around him, he was doing chores for him. Thanks to him, we have a precise profile of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Beautiful. And he was also the last of the companions to die in Basra. The above hadith is one of those Jawami'ul Kalim. We have used this word before. Once again, let us remember, this is one of the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is a communicator par excellence. He had been gifted with that great power of articulation so that he could convey profound lessons in short words, short phrases. The hadith is one of them. The hadith teaches us to be always optimistic. There is no room for pessimism in Islam or fatalism. We need to be optimistic. The Prophet was always optimistic. And we should also engage in productive works, beneficial works. And while doing so, we should be selfless. And we should always be engaged, struggling with life, struggling to do what we have to do in this world. We should never give up work, even in the darkest moments. Beautiful lessons. The entire concept, this hadith revolves around the mission of human being, why Allah has sent us to this world. The Quran refers to it as ta'amirul ardh. Anshaakum min al-ard wa istamarakum fiha. He brought you forth from the earth and settled you there, and he won. Istamarakum, you know, this word cannot be translated with one word in English. Ta'mirul ard involves developing. We are settling in the earth, so we should develop it, cultivate it, and we should build civilization and community, and make earth and life, you know, beneficial, enhance the quality of life in the world. So there is no room in Islam for world renunciation. That is not an ideal in Islam. La rahbaniyata fil Islam. We ought to be always engaged, and we ought to do so until we breathe our last. To stress the importance of lifelong engagement with the world, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the onset of the hour. Why hour? Because throughout history, the anticipation of the hour has led millions to take refuge in caves, shun society and civilization. Every now and then, even in the States, we hear a group of people. We are anticipating that hour is approaching, so they leave society and go and leave, you know, shun the society and civilization. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَسْأَلُكَ النَّاسُ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. The people ask you about the hour. Say, the knowledge thereof rests with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, we cited the hadith Jibreel. When Jibreel asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Mata sa'a?" When is the hour? The answer came precise from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Laysa al-mas'ul anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'il." The one who is questioned about it doesn't know better than the questioner himself. This knowledge is concealed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not disclose it to anyone. And then he is asking about some of the signs we have explained. Indeed, the hour is a certainty, that is, we must believe. The hour is bound to come, and it will be so sudden. We cannot flee from it. However, the anticipation of the hour should not hold us back from doing our works that we are supposed to do. The Prophet gave the example of planting a seed. A seed that we plant will take, especially plant, whether it is date tree or apple tree, whatever, oak tree, it takes years for that tree to become fruitful and beneficial, bear can harvest from it. So why plant when the hour is approaching, when the hour is coming? The question comes to everyone's mind, because we are planting in the hope that we live to harvest from it. But Islam teaches, yes, even if the hour is not coming and you are old, still plant. And this is, there is another hadith that one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I think it was, if memory correct, Ubay ibn Ka'b, he had land which he did not cultivate. He was too old. So the teaching of Rasulullah was, no, you shouldn't leave uncultivated. You know, the land belongs to the one who cultivates. So Umar ibn Khattab passed by and told Ubay ibn Ka'b, why are you not planting it? I would help you. So he forced him to plant, cultivate it. This is the lesson, because you plant, and maybe the future generation, the birds or whoever. But when the hour is coming, why plant? The Prophet says, should still plant, because we should not expect rewards for the work, good work that we do. It will be counted. It will be in our register. The Prophet tells us that we should not give up planting, even if this is to teach us that we ought to do our works without expecting any material rewards. We ought to do so selflessly, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many, many lessons. The more you reflect on this hadith, the more lessons you can infer from it. Let me sum up some of them. Islam is life-affirming vision, meaning want us to engage in life, to be alive, to realize our full potential, to struggle, to fulfill our divinely bestowed and endowed faculties and endowments and whatever resources we have to use them to achieve what we can achieve. So it's a life-affirming vision, teaches us to cultivate the earth. We ought to be optimistic always and should never be giving in to fatalism, resignation, and world renunciation. We must engage in works that are beneficial and productive. Time is a precious capital, and it teaches us to value time. We must never squander it away, even if we are breathing the last. If we could do something, we should do it. And that is why the concept of Husnul Khatima, you know, the sealing our life with good works, that's a sign that this person is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a man loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So planting trees and cultivating the land is one of the most beneficial works in Islam. We will be rewarded for our good works, provided we have the sincere intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should never expect material rewards for the good works we do. Our reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will certainly be rewarded for all of our good works in the hereafter. Finally, we should seal our life with good works. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
You have been listening to an audio production by the Islamic Institute of Toronto, Education for Virtuous Living. Please visit our website at www.islam.ca.